They're everywhere. I love apples. When I was a baby, I used to teeth on apples. I just ate an apple. They are part of my life force.
How do you determine when you've sort of arrived?
Songs that I've been writing,
what I write again and again.
Words we use.
I began
to have my own way to go, my own songs and my own.
I've thought very deeply about the lyrics.
Art is about human expression.
Lyrically speaking.
Hello and welcome to Lyrically Speaking. I'm your host, Sam Boer. Thank you so much for joining me today. On today's show, we have a very special guest, Jane Blanchard, who is calling in for an interview. Jane is a fantastic singer-songwriter, performer, and community organizer from Fredericton, New Brunswick. And her latest EP, As Jane Blanchard, just came out a couple days ago. It's called Still Again, and it's out in Canada on Monopolized Records. Jane now splits her time between Fredericton and Edinburgh in Scotland. And we talk a little bit in our interview about what it's like to have a home when you really have multiple homes at the same time. Jane is the founder and co-director of the Flourish Festival in Fredericton, one of Canada's best and most underrated music festivals that would have been having, I believe, its fifth year, if not for COVID-19. But the festival is still happening online, so you can follow Flourish Festival for more details about that. I hope you enjoy my conversation with Jane, and please do go check out her EP, Still Again. It is out now. Here's my conversation with Jane Blanchard. I am so happy to be joined today by Jane Blanchard, who's calling in from Scotland. Jane is just releasing an EP. Actually, it was just released a few days ago, Still Again. It was released through Monopolized Records here in Canada. And it's their third EP, an absolutely brilliant little collection of songs. And I'm so grateful to have Jane on the show to discuss a couple of those songs today. Hi, Jane.
Hi, Sam. Thank you for having me. Really excited to be on.
Oh, thanks for being here. I'm so excited to chat with you. I first saw Jane perform at a festival she actually founded and is a director for called the Flourish Festival in Fredericton. Just an absolutely brilliant organization there. And I wanted to start today, Jane, by talking about place for you, because I met you originally as someone in the middle of the Fredericton art scene. Like, you were the person getting community together through this festival, doing all that organizational legwork. And for a few years now, you've also alternated being in Scotland a good deal of the time. And I'm just curious, what is home to you now? What does that mean to you in this moment?
Sure. I mean, I definitely like to think that I have two homes. So I'm living and working in Edinburgh, Scotland right now, and I love it. This is where my mom was born, and this is where my parents met as well. So I've always had a tie to the city, and in a way this has always been kind of my second home, even growing up in Canada. But then, you know, Fredericton, New Brunswick is also still very much my home. You know, the whole time that I grew up and was in university, I lived in the house that I grew up in. So I still have my room there, and still very much connected to the scene and my friends. So I'm back and forth quite often, and really trying to stay involved within both communities as much as possible. I think, you know, now we live in such a digital age too, and travel was so easy, I suppose, before before COVID. But I think it's possible to have more than one home. And I think it's kind of great to be part of both communities.
It's great to see how you balance it, Jane. It's impressive, and it's heartening to me, because I think it's an increasingly common thing to not only be able to be invested in one community, especially for musicians when you're hopping around so much. to know that you can hold a few, you know, a few strongholds of community in different places. It's really heartening.
Yeah, absolutely. 100%. And, you know, I think as musicians as well, we are often so on the go, you know, sometimes home is, you know, your van for a month or two. So yeah, I think you can kind of make home and make community wherever you are physically, but also there's a whole other part of community and home as well.
Right. I was curious if these ideas were particularly pertinent to you now. Just listening to the EP, I noticed you talk about the house where you grew up, and there are a couple of allusions that seem to talk about reconciling with having multiple places where you're living. Was that something really on your mind when you were writing this EP?
Yeah, it was. I mean, I wrote the EP kind of last year and bits of the year before, and you know, as comfortable as I am, you know, in my home and still having the community back in New Brunswick, I do think that there's always a bit of, you know, well, what if I was there when you're somewhere else? So, you know, when I'm in Scotland, I'm thinking, oh, well, you know, what if I was in New Brunswick or in Fredericton? You know, what would my life be like and what would I be doing? And there's also, I think I write a lot when I'm traveling as well. So, you know, going from one place to another, and, you know, I have this life in Scotland, but then when I go back home, I'm kind of reminded of all of the times, you know, from years ago. And that all comes flooding back, I guess, in terms of memories, and kind of vice versa here as well, if that makes sense.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, it's a strange thing when you're in one place and from another place. You're just constantly keeping both of those places in your mind. Mm-hmm. And as soon as you start to settle, start to get comfortable in one place, that can be when you feel the other place the most, in a way.
Yeah, that's it exactly. And I think the same can be said for many things like relationships, place. It's kind of, you know, like the grass is always greener.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. I'm curious specifically, Jane, what the big differences you've noticed between the arts and culture scenes in Embro and Fredericton. Do you find they're very different, or do you find they're similar in a lot of ways?
I actually find a load of similarities between especially the New Brunswick scene and the Scottish scene. Both scenes are very, very DIY, very artist-led and artist-driven. There is, I suppose, I guess I'm trying to say there are like managers and booking agents and press and stuff here as there is in New Brunswick as well. But I think the cool thing about both places is that the scene is very much driven by the artists and the gigs and what the artists are creating. I think that they're both really, really great spots. And Scotland too, a bit different, I think, from the rest of the UK scene. Like, it's quite separated from the English scene.
So it's more DIY, more grassroots kind of?
Yeah, that's what I've found, at least. I mean, I haven't been over here for too long to have an all-encompassing view on it, but I definitely find it to be very, very grassroots, very friendly, very, very artist-driven, and very independent and community-oriented, I guess, would be one of the big things that ties both scenes together. It's very, very much grassroots, very much community, and less industry and corporation-driven.
Right. That can be, it's super heartening when you find a community far away from the, you know, your original community that's so similar. That's how I felt going to Fredericton after being born and raised in Guelph. It's amazing how similar they feel, even though they're in pretty disparate geographic locations.
Absolutely. And you're absolutely right. And I think, you know, as touring artists as well, who get to experience all these different cities and different communities, it's really interesting, those cities and those communities that you just almost instantly feel at home in, and then those that you don't.
Yeah. I love the feeling of being somewhere for 1 or 2 days and immediately feeling like, okay, there's something here that's really drawing me in.
Yeah, you're like, I get it. And you can almost like envision yourself there. So that's, yeah, very cool.
I'm so glad you have two communities treating you like that right now. That's so good. I'm curious. I love doing this, Jane, once we do a bit of the early interview and we get to know you through a couple of questions. We'll do a bit of word association. So this is something where I'll just say a word or a phrase, and then you'll just say a memory or a story, whatever comes to mind.
Oh, I love it.
We'll get to know you. We'll get to know you a little bit more psychoanalytically rather than...
Interesting. I have to send my therapist after.
Cancel your therapy. It's all right now.
Yeah.
So let's see. What should we start with? Let's start with the word paint.
Paint. There are a few different things that's coming to mind. I guess the first thing is painting in Shiftwork Studio, which is Stefan, who's the co-director of Flourish and also my drummer, the studio that he runs. I guess paint just always reminds me of like all of the paint that's in the studio. And I sometimes have to paint the walls white. And there's just always paint everywhere. Just paint. I have like paint. I'm actually wearing leggings right now, and there's paint on my leggings from 2 years ago at Flourish.
Oh, amazing.
So I guess paint reminds me of, reminds me of that. It kind of is like, it's like bringing me back to a place and a time. So that's what paint does for me.
Wow. There we go. When was the last time you did a big painting job for whatever reason?
Oh, I'm a really, really, really bad painter. So the only painting that I'm ever allowed to do is usually at shift work, and it's usually just white, and it's usually covering something up, but then someone else usually has to go and fix my work because I'm not very good at it. So a big paint job, never.
Fair enough. I'm the same way.
I'm too impatient for paint.
So am I. I totally agree. I respect people who can really take their time and do a brilliant, precise job. Probably like Stefan.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Some people are great at it, but I'm glad I'm not the only one that finds it very frustrating.
Do you think that applies? Sorry, I have more words, I promise. But do you think that applies to your music practice at all, Jane, just in terms of trying to scrap something out rather than getting to the details right away?
Oh, 100%. Yeah, I'm very much results driven, I guess. Like, I'll sit down and write a song, and I'll spend like 4 or 5 hours on it, and then I just want it to be done. One of the great things with this EP was we went to work with Mike Trask, who recorded the EP, but we also spent a day or two beforehand doing some pre-production on it, which I had never done before. And I just sat with him for hours and hours and hours and went over my songs and the layouts of them and the words and really dissected them. Which was something that I have never had the patience to do.
Wow.
So it was great working with him who, you know, that was such a big part of his practice, and it really forced me to do that. But I'm hoping to inject a little bit more patience into my art, moving forward. It's a really good practice for sure.
That's exciting. Is it, that's something you would want to do again with your next project? Have some pre-production?
Yeah, I think so. It was really nice for me, like talking over the songs and the lyrics to make sure that they made sense to me as well, and that I was really expressing everything that I wanted to say in them. Mm-hmm. So just, you know, even just speaking lyrics to someone out loud and going through them like that, I think can have such an impact. Because you really have to think like, oh, did I mean that? Or is that coming across how I wanted it to? Or, you know, am I saying this thing because I don't feel comfortable saying what I actually want to say, but really I should say what I actually want to say. So just things like that.
Oh yeah. It's amazing what you realize as soon as somebody gives you some objectivity to your songs.
Yeah, that's it. Exactly.
Okay. Let me give you another phrase here, Jane.
Cool.
Merry-go-round.
Merry-go-round. Instantly, I am brought to Edinburgh has a big Christmas market every year, and they always have a really big merry-go-round. And it's just like really colorful, and there's noises everywhere, and kids running around and stuff. That's what it makes me think of. Never actually been on it. I think that's probably the only merry-go-round I've ever been around.
Okay. That's nice. No negative associations. That's
no,
nice.
No negative.
let's do one more word. Apple.
Oh, I just had an apple. I'm looking at an apple core right now.
Whoa.
And I'm on an Apple computer. Apples are everywhere.
They are everywhere. Yeah. I hadn't even thought about the brand, but my goodness, we look at apples every day now.
It's so true. Yeah. Apples, they're everywhere. I love apples. When I was a baby, I used to teethe on apples. I just ate an apple. They are part of my life force, I guess.
That's amazing. Are apples like an everyday thing for you or a treat?
They're pretty much an everyday thing. I'm always trying to drink less coffee. And by less coffee, I mean like less than 4 cups a day.
Oh my goodness.
But recently when I've been going for like my afternoon cup of coffee, I have a green apple instead. And it seems to have the same effect on waking me up.
Good for you. Bless your heart, Jane. I would love to try that, but
top tip.
It's good. You're giving me things to aspire to. Anyways, I would love to listen to some of your music. So let's actually play a Jane Blanchard song.
Oh, cool.
We're going to take a little break and we're going to listen to the title track off of this EP called Still Again. Here's Jane Blanchard.
Windows see.
Welcome back to Lyrically Speaking. You just heard the track Still Again, the self-titled track off of Jane Blanchard's new EP, which just came out. Jane, I adore this track. I love the freedom of a lot of the songs on this EP, the way that they sort of move to their own accord. Sometimes it's a very stilted feeling. You're very free with rhythms. And we talked a little bit about trying to get songs out quickly and having that kind of sketch be the impetus for the song. Do you think that that helps shape your songs into kind of an unusual manner?
Yeah, I think it does. I mean, I usually write the songs and then work on them with Stefan. And usually, you know, when Stefan and I start working on them, they kind of become a whole other beast. You know, he adds a lot to it as well. And then, you know, with this EP, working with Mike as well, that brought a whole other layer of interesting stuff to it.
Jane, I love your arrangements is what I was trying to say, because I can never predict what's happening next. And I think that probably comes from not editing too harshly when you start writing.
Yeah, definitely. I'm never really one to do kind of like a verse chorus kind of thing, though I'm learning that that can sometimes be really effective and really good for the song. But the way that I write isn't usually like that. It's usually, I'll write lyrics in kind of like a poem format and then add guitar to it. And then kind of Stefan adds his part in, but yeah, I kind of like a bit of difference in dynamic and tempo and, you know, keep it interesting.
I appreciate it. And a lot of your lyrics do feel like they're kind of ripped from a journal, very immediate, emotional forward. Has that been the way you've always written songs, Jane, or is that a conscious choice at this point?
That's pretty much always been the way. Writing songs, I guess, has always been kind of a form of therapy. So for me, that's just how I naturally write and how I enjoy writing. I find it quite difficult, you know, if someone said, you know, like write a song about something, write a song about a tree, write a song about an apple. I think it would always in some way or another come back to that similar format that I do my writing from.
It very much makes sense with the musical aesthetic of the work, with that sort of stilted, that freedom with stilted rhythms and whatnot.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely. And for this EP as well, it was so fun to record and so fun to play, because we did all of the drum and guitar tracks and some of the vocal tracks totally live off the floor as well. So I think that ebb and flow and the rhythm and kind of that feeling of not always being 100% settled really comes across in the EP, because we're not on a click track. We're very, you know, flowy and kind of playing off each other through the whole thing.
Oh, that's really evident. That's great. I want to talk about your work with Stefan, because you folks have been collaborating creatively for so long in so many different capacities, in Flourish as well as with your musical projects. And what do you think is one thing Stefan has taught you about the way you make art?
And that's such a good question. sorry, were you going to continue?
I realized I had four different questions about that relationship, but let's start with that one. What's one way he's revealed something to you about the way you create?
Oh, so many ways. I think Stefan has really helped me in my, the confidence in my creation, I guess, would be one of them. And he's always been really good at pushing, you know, the art that we make. And I think he provides a lot of support for things that I'm maybe not so good at, or bits of my personality that are very like rushed. Like we were speaking about earlier, I think he kind of can steady it, which is why he's a drummer. perhaps. He's very much a drummer personality.
Right. That totally makes sense. I remember watching Stefan on stage and thinking, I don't think I've ever seen a drummer that deliberate with timing. Like he would just wait till the final moment to hit everything right on beat. It was really gorgeous to watch.
Yeah, I don't know how he does it. Like, to be perfectly honest, when we play live, it is very much me starting at crazy tempos and randomly speeding things up because I think it would be fun to do, and slowing stuff down and doing like really weird timing stuff all of a sudden without practicing like that or like telling him I'm going to do that. And he just somehow knows exactly what's happening. He's a mind reader. It's wild.
That's amazing. How long have you two played on stage together now?
Oh, well, we started playing together in David in the Dark, which was a band that we played in together, kind of like an indie rock band. And we would have started playing together in 2013 or 14, maybe.
Okay. Yeah, that's enough time to get a solid psychic connection down for sure.
Yeah, totally. But yeah, I think around that time for sure. But yeah, we've been playing together for a long time.
Well, I'm always curious when there's a partnership that is so close like that. Is there anything Stefan tries to do when you're creating that you have to push back against? Is it just that maybe he's too precise and you want it to be a little bit less precise, or is there something else?
Oh, that is also a good question. I think we're both pretty good at being very honest with each other. I mean, obviously when we're like practicing and stuff, I'll do stuff that he's not so hot on and vice versa. But I think one of the things that we've both come to learn with experience is learning to make space for each other when we play, and understanding that, you know, we don't both need to be playing at 100% all of the time. Like there are pockets to let the other instrument and the other person kind of have their moment, and that really makes songs more interesting and more dynamic.
Yeah, that's so important. I've also been wondering if you two would ever consider expanding. Do you prefer playing as a duo on purpose, or did that just arise out of necessity and now it just shapes your sound well on stage?
Yeah, so originally I guess it arrived out of necessity. I started playing solo. And at that time I was still like quite new to playing my songs, and they are all quite personal as well. So I didn't feel 100% comfortable letting other people into that zone. I don't think I really had the confidence as a musician to feel like a leader for my songs. Like, I don't think that I would have had the confidence and maybe the abilities at the time as well to be able to bring other musicians in and, you know, kind of lead them and tell them what I want, because I don't think I really knew what my sound was or what I wanted. Started as a duo, started kind of like jamming with Stefan, and then started playing some shows and touring. And then of course you realize how nice it is touring as a two-piece.
It's really cool.
Highly recommend. So much more space in the car. So much easier to find floors to crash on. It's just great. because we had been touring and stuff with David in the Dark too, so we were so used to, you know, being in like a five-piece touring band. So that was definitely a plus. And then I think we just really loved playing as a two-piece as well, and like playing around with what that could sound like, and having the ability to do that thing that we do on stage of, you know, speeding things up, slowing things down, like throwing weird things in there that you can really only do with a two-piece.
Right, or like a big band you've been touring with forever.
Exactly. It would be really quite difficult, I think, for us to bring like a bass player and another guitar player in and expect that right off the bat. But that being said, I mean, it's not something that we've not wanted to do. We've definitely talked about, you know, maybe having more band members at some point, but right now I think we're pretty comfortable being a two piece, and I think there's still a lot more that we can do with the two piece as well. Like, we want to start exploring different types of gear and like different amps and kind of ways that we can play around with our instruments to make our sounds bigger without necessarily having to expand the crew.
Right. It's good to have those limitations and just force yourself to find creative new ways to do it.
Yeah, absolutely.
Hearing you talk about touring, Jane, it's just always, sometimes it hits you in the gut when you realize how long it's been since we've seen any live music or been on tour. And I'm wondering if we can bask in some memories for just a moment. And if you wanted to share one of your top live music memories from last year playing as Jane Blanchard somewhere.
Oh, wow. That's a good question.
We all want that right now a little bit to just bask in the glory of those memories.
I'm so bad with years too. Like, this year has just, it just seems like the eternal darkness.
Yeah, it feels like March should have been the start of a new year. And then
I'm even trying to remember what last year was. What were we all doing? It's like ages away. Let me think. I mean, I really liked playing Flourish Festival last year. That was really fun. Those shows are always really special when we play them, because we don't really have time to think about playing because we're so busy running around doing all sorts of stuff. And then all of a sudden it's like we get a break for half an hour because we get to play our set.
That was so amazing to me. Like, 1 minute you're in the back room helping get the pizza out for all the artists, and then I turn around and you're on stage mid-song. Like, how the heck did that happen?
Oh, I know. Yeah, so I think those shows are definitely some of my favorite, just because it's such a release too, and it's such a, it was probably like the only show last year that lacked anticipation, if that makes sense. Like, usually you're like sitting in the audience or like sitting by the bar saying like, okay, so that was the opener, and now like I'm gonna be on in 5 minutes, so I'm gonna like go for a walk around the block and get a ginger ale. Like, you kind of build it all up in your head.
Right, yeah.
But that show at Flourish, and kind of every show that we play at Flourish, we can just kind of play and black out for half an hour. It's great.
You can't think about anything else. Yeah.
It's beautiful.
And I'm so glad the Flourish Festival is going ahead with some online components this year. I'm curious, as a duo with you and Stefan, how you've been creating during this time. You released this amazing music video for Missing Me off this EP with a bunch of laptop recordings of you performing the song. What other ways has the pandemic influenced the way you're writing and creating?
Yeah, I mean, I think when, you know, it kind of hit, I've been like on furlough from work, so I have lots of time at home now. And I think when that first set in, I was like, okay, this is great. I'm going to write like 3 records, and I'm going to record a lo-fi album, and I'm going to do this and do that. Like, I thought I was going to do all these things, but the reality is that I think for a lot of us, we just have had no creative energy, and it hasn't really been very productive, I suppose. But also, I guess it doesn't need to be productive because it's a pandemic and people are dying. So,
yeah, it's really challenging the importance of productivity right now.
Totally. And also just not being able to go see live shows. I mean, the times that I come home and I write, or I'm excited to write something or to record something, is usually right after I go see a band that I love, or I see new music that I've never heard before. So not having that as well, I think it has hugely impacted just how we create and our inspirations to create.
That's such a good point. I hadn't even thought about that loss, because when you go to any live show, regardless of genre, or if you know the artist, you do come home with that feeling of that energy to create. I don't know if you can get that from anywhere else. in the same way.
Yeah, totally. There's just, there's such like a buzz mm-hmm. to it. And also I think, you know, we all love our local venues so much wherever we are. And even being in that space surrounded by other musicians and local artists is also such a form of inspiration.
Yeah, it's true. We'll get back to it soon enough, I believe, in my heart.
Me too.
Oh, it will happen.
But I wanted to play one more song of yours, Jane, and then we just have a couple of speed round questions for the end of our show.
I love it.
We're just going to take a little break, and we're going to listen to Settle. I think this is my favorite track off the EP.
Thank you. It's one of my favorite ones, too.
Oh, good.
It was the most fun to record.
Oh, it would have been a blast. Everybody, just think of how much fun this would have been to record while you listen to it. This is Settle by Jane Blanchett. Welcome back to Lyrically Speaking. You just heard Settle by Jane Blanchard. And I hope you were imagining yourself in the studio rocking out alongside Jane. Just a brilliant track and some amazing lines in this one too, Jane. I love you opening with the line, "When you go, please go slowly out that door that I welcome you through." And ending with this tension of, "Leave some space so I can break apart." I was curious if this one was written in one go or if it was an idea you came back to a couple of times.
Totally. So I wrote the guitar and some initial parts of the song at a songwriting retreat thing that Music New Brunswick put on in St. Andrews. And it initially started out as a very folky ballad, like a very soft folky song.
Oh, really?
Yeah. And then I kind of had it in my notebook. We had to do like a final performance of the songs that we made. And then it just kind of sat in my notebook. for a year or so. And then I started writing for this new record, and I'd kind of forgotten all about this song. But as we do, you know, you flip through your notebook trying to get ideas to write something new. And I came across that. And I think I'd evolved so much in guitar playing and the way that I wrote that I took those lyrics and kind of reworked them and made them a bit heavier. Mm. But yeah, so it was done in bits and pieces. And that one I worked on too with Mike when we did pre-production as well, just, you know, taking words out, solidifying things. So that was really interesting to do.
Do you remember any specific lines or words that were in there that you had to decide to part with?
Oh, I don't. I mean, I could probably...
It's a very specific question, but I'm always curious what doesn't make the cut and why it doesn't make the cut.
Yeah, I remember. I think we scrapped several things that were very... They weren't very direct. Like, they were very... I don't even know the word for it, but they were like images and imagery, I suppose, instead of like direct actions, I guess. Like, it was a bit like flouncy and not really getting to the point. So some of those things we kind of like took and started thinking, okay, well, what are you actually trying to say by that? And then kind of reworked them. If that makes sense.
Yeah, that's really interesting. And they probably would have suited a slower ballad type song better than what this musically ended up being.
Totally. Yeah. I think like in the folk year when I had, you know, some lines about like plants and like outside and those didn't make the cut.
Right. Apples. That doesn't make the cut.
Apples. Exactly.
Well, thank you for coming on the show today, Jane. This has really been a treat. I just have a few, we always do a speed round at the end of our show. So I'm going to ask you just a few questions and you can answer as quickly as possible. Okay.
Perfect.
Okay. And they're hard to answer quickly. So just answer.
What is one particular lyric that has inspired your own writing?
Oh, from like another person?
Yeah.
Oh my God. So difficult.
I might have to retire this one. This one's pretty cruel.
Does everyone have a difficult time with this one?
Some people have one loaded up and it's shocking.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh gosh, I don't even know. There are so many lyrics. Like probably something from Kate Bush, mm. I'd imagine. I don't know. I'll send you one.
Sure. we can plug it in. Any Kate Bush line would be.
Yeah, exactly. That's exactly what I'm thinking.
All right. Question two. What non-musical literary work has inspired you as a musician?
My favorite book when I was a teenager and like a preteen was Wuthering Heights. And that has definitely inspired my brooding, angry, sad sensibility in my writing.
That's amazing. And a Kate Bush connection.
Yeah, I know. Me at 13.
It's good. Oh, that book. It's helped so many young people channel that angst.
It's so true.
Jane, what is one phrase you use too often in your daily life?
Oh, I mean, I use like way too much. I say too much. Neither of those are phrases.
You qualify.
Well, I suppose right now it's considering the current COVID-19 pandemic or something to that regard is usually something that I use every single day in an email.
Right. Yeah.
Despite our current situation, despite you know what. Yeah. Penelope Stevens from Motherhood yesterday on Facebook wrote a Facebook status basically saying that she's writing that every day constantly and like grant applications and stuff, and she was asking for recommendations on what to say instead, and it turned into a very interesting Facebook thread.
Oh, that's brilliant. Oh, I'd love to read those.
I'd recommend.
All right, Jane, question four. What is a question you wish an interviewer would ask you that you've never been asked?
Oh, that's also a good question. You've asked some very good ones today. I don't know. Like, what are you watching on TV? I guess I love TV.
What are you watching on TV, Jane?
So, I mean, lockdown has been full of great television. Mm-hmm. I recently finished The Real Housewives of New York from the very beginning. It was awful and so good. Currently watching Desperate Housewives. Are you seeing a theme here?
I was going to say, I sense a theme.
So yes, those are my TV gems at the moment.
Oh, they take your mind off of everything.
Yeah. Oh, just the best. Love TV.
All right. Question 5, second last one. What subject have you never written about that you wish to address in the future?
Oh, I think I've never really written about it. But feminism, I suppose. I think there have been several great female musicians, I mean, throughout history, who've written so beautifully and so explicitly about what it is to be a woman and being a woman, especially within the music industry. I'm definitely trying to get more comfortable with speaking and writing about things that are more like politically and culturally driven, and are maybe a bit more direct.
Hmm. It's exciting. It's a hard thing to do, and not sound like you're trying too hard, I find.
Definitely. It's like finding that balance between being just very honest about your own experiences and, you know, making that into your art form. Yeah.
Well, I look forward to that.
And the final question I have for you, Jane, what were the most impactful words of wisdom you've ever received?
That's also a really hard one. I don't know. I have no idea. I don't know. Do people even remember words of wisdom? I feel like everyone just makes them up.
Jane, you're like me if I actually had to answer these questions. I don't know how people do it.
Yeah. Like, I mean, I'm sure people have said very wise things to me in the past, but I don't know who they are or what they said.
Maybe a better way to phrase it is what's a principle that guides you day to day?
Oh, kindness.
Amazing.
In some way. Yeah. Kindness, I suppose. It's the first word that came to mind.
That's perfect. That's the first word you want to come to your mind. How you live your life.
Oh, thank you, Jane, for being on the show today. This was a real treat.
Thank you, Sam. Always great speaking to you.
And everyone, please check out the EP Still Again by Jane Blanchard. Again, it's out through Monopolize Records here in Canada. It's out now, so please go listen to it immediately after this show. I've been your host, Sam Boer. Thank you for listening to Lyrically Speaking. And as always, have a great week.